Who in here agrees that there's nothing like coming home after a long day at work and just relaxing, chilling, you know, just taking it easy? Who agrees that that's the best thing ever? Or who's like me and Aaron, who's, we work from home, watch our kids at home, and we're just home all day long, no matter what, right? Like most of us are at home all the time. Many, many people have done the same thing for the past year. You're working from home, you're teaching your kids at home, you're just home all day long. Leave a comment if you're still working from home right now, right? I don't know when we're going back to places. What are places? Who knows? Anyways, okay, now we are in a series that is leading us to our in-person return service on Easter Sunday, where we have been talking about the mission and the vision of the local Vineyard Church and what that means for you. Now, we have four steps in our vision: fresh, connecting people to Jesus; authentic, connecting people to friends; and our third step is home, which means connecting people to purpose. Connecting people to purpose. So what does that mean? We are a church for you to belong. Like a good home, you feel welcome, loved, valued, and responsible. Now, I know most of us, like I said, have been working from home, but there's still nothing like home. Now, I'm not just talking about a house or a location where you live. Home is a place where you belong. Home is a place where you feel welcome. Home is a place where you experience love and value. Home is a place where you take responsibility. Like Dorothy once said, there's no place like home. Come on, someone, that's a good movie. So here at The Local, we want this church to feel like home for you. We want this church to feel like home to you. The Local is a place where you belong. The Local is a place where you can feel welcome, experience love and value. The Local is a place where you can take responsibility for your church and your neighborhood, your city, and your world. So here's the thing. Here at The Local, we want to help you live life on purpose so that you can experience God, not just on Sunday, not just when watching a church service, but every day of your life. So what are we going to do today? I want to help you connect to purpose. And what I did, I broke down the word home and I gave four points on the word home and to help us connect to our purpose. There you go. The first one is this: H. Honor God and others. Honor God and others. Now, if you honor God and you honor others, that's a good first step to finding your purpose. See, your purpose will always be connected to loving God. And the best way to demonstrate your love for God is how you love people. Matthew 25 puts it like this in the Passion Translation. It says, this is Jesus talking, "For when you saw me hungry, you fed me. When you found me thirsty, you gave me drink. When I had no place to stay, you invited me in. And when I was poorly clothed, you covered me. When I was sick, you tenderly cared for me. And when I was in prison, you visited me." Then the godly will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty and give you food or something to drink? When did we see you with no place to stay and invite you in? When did we see you poorly clothed and cover you? When did we see you sick and tenderly care for you or in prison and visit you?" And the king and Jesus will answer them and say, "Don't you know, when you cared for one of the least of these, my little ones, my true brothers and sisters, you demonstrated love for me." Man, Jesus is saying, when you live your life on purpose for God and for others, that's when you're serving Jesus. This illustration throws three things that I want to break down for us so that we can begin to connect to our purpose. The first thing is this: your purpose is for God. Your life purpose is for God. Did you know that God can give you a purpose for your life that is beyond your wildest dream? Like, I'm serious. You may have a big dream in your head, or you may have a dream that you think, man, that'd be cool if I can do that. God has even a bigger one. God has a bigger dream for your life than what you can even dream up. Now, your purpose is for God. For some, you might say, well, that's an obvious answer. You're a pastor, of course you're going to say that. But I actually want to bring some clarity to what I mean by this. See, doing something for God isn't always doing something big and grand. Like, you know, like starting a church or starting a nonprofit organization. Those things are necessary, but they're not the only thing that connects people to purpose or connects people to God. Purpose is actually like being the little boy who shared his lunch. What do you mean by that, Jacob? One of Jesus' biggest recorded miracles is feeding the 5,000 people with a few pieces of fish and bread. But this miracle does not happen if this little boy didn't share his lunch. If this little boy didn't share his lunch, check it out. This is the Bible. Check this out. John 6 says this. Another one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. But how far would they go among so many? How far did they go? Well, Jesus fed 15,000 people with it. That's how far that those 2 little pieces of fish and bread went. Purpose, I want you to get this, purpose is right in your hands. Purpose isn't out there somewhere. Purpose isn't when you finally get that job or when you finally get in that relationship or when you have a bunch of money, then you can start living out your purpose. Purpose can happen today. Purpose can happen today when you give what's in your hands to Jesus. When you give what's in your hands to Jesus. Is your marriage struggling? Give it to Jesus. Are you having a hard time at parenting? Give it to Jesus. You don't love your job? Give it to Jesus. Are you in a dating relationship and you need the courage to end it, but you don't know how to end that relationship? Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. And watch what he does. Watch what he does when you just give him the little bit that you got, okay? Second thing is this. Now, your purpose is for others. So your purpose is for God and your purpose is for others. Now, big thing we believe here at the Vineyard is this. Everyone gets to play. Everyone gets to play. You know, what do you mean by that, Jacob? I'm glad you asked. Doing the stuff in the Bible. Everyone gets to do it. The stuff that we see in the Bible, you get to do it. I get to do it. You get to do it. Feeding the poor, healing the sick, providing resources to the community, leading, giving, making a difference with our lives. That's not something that the pastor just gets to do. But you get to do it. Everyone gets to do it. It's not my job to do those things. See, God has given Aaron and I the responsibility of leading the local Vineyard Church, but ministry is not left just to the pastor. Pastors, ministry is your job. Ministry is your job. You can pray for people. You can give and support the ministry. You have leadership abilities. You have gifts of administration. You can sing a song. You can hit the jiggle note. You have a heart for children. You can do it. See, we regularly saw Jesus empower his disciples to do the work of ministry. It wasn't like Jesus was going around doing a bunch of stuff and his disciples were just like, whoa, this is awesome. Look at all the great things he's doing. No, Jesus empowered them to do things. Ephesians 4:12 puts it like this. Their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. Check this out. Check out this next part. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. See, there's a connection I want you to make here. When we live out our purpose, we help people discover that faith can start right where they are. That's what happens. When we live out our purpose, we communicate to the world that, hey, you can have faith that starts right where you are. So everyone gets to play. And the third thing, so your purpose is for God, your purpose is for others. And then the third thing, your purpose is fulfilling. It fulfills your life. It satisfies your life. Here's the thing. Sometimes in our world, we confuse vocation with purpose. We confuse our vocation, our job, with purpose. And I think our culture is desperate to find meaning in life, and that we kind of made this shift in our culture that, you know, if I'm working a 40-hour a week job, it must be my purpose as well. Now, I have different thoughts about us working 40 hours a week. I won't talk about that in this message. But vocation, your job, and purpose, don't always have to be connected. They don't always have to be connected. You can live on purpose at your workplace, but your workplace may not necessarily be the main your main passion in life. See, your purpose can be found in serving at church or helping with displaced children or going on missions trips. Your vocation can actually be one of the best tools that you have to help support your purpose, help support your purpose. So I want you to understand that. You know, if you think you're kind of stuck in a job and you feel like, man, this job, it pays well, it's not what I want to do in my life. That's okay. Maybe your job is just a way to get some means so that you can find your passion and your purpose. Okay. How do you know that? So you're like, Jacob, how do I find my purpose? How do I even know it? You know, how do you find a purpose that honors God and others? Ask yourself two questions. I want you to ask yourself these two questions. What do I love the most? And the second question is, what do I hate the most? Yeah, I said it. You know, what do I love the most and what do I hate the most? For me, I'll give you an example. For me, I love when I see people connect to Jesus. And, you know, I love when I see people connect to Jesus and when they find purpose and meaning to their lives. I love when people start to get forgiveness for the past hurts and move forward to the freedom and the victory that God has for them. I love that the most. And what do I hate the most? I hate when I see people who are hurting, when I see people who are abused. I hate when I see injustice. You know, I hate when I see people stuck in excuses or stuck in life problems and never experience the fullness of life that God has for them. So what conclusion do I come up to? What I love the most and what I hate the most align my purpose with being a pastor. And pastoring, it's not the end all be all of like ultimate Christianity. Oh, I'm a pastor. I'm the ultimate. No, being a pastor helps me, gives me an avenue to help people discover freedom for their lives, find hope for their lives, and find purpose and connect to Jesus. So that's how I found my purpose. You know, what do I love the most and what do I hate the most? So if you're searching for your purpose, those can be two good questions to start asking yourself and it can help start creating that passion that you have for life, okay? Second thing is this. The O stands for organize your life on a vision and values. Organize your life on a vision and values. So this is very important, okay? This is actually very important if you really want to live the life that you desire. When Aaron and I first started the process of church planting, one of the first things that our pastor, Pastor Sharon, asked us was she wanted us to write out our mission, vision, and values for the church. That's one of the first things she wanted to do. And the reason for this was because when we established our vision and our values, anything that didn't support that vision and values couldn't come into play. So if someone came in with an idea, and it could be a great idea, but if it didn't support the vision and the values, yeah, we can't add that to what we're doing. You know, it helped us to stay focused on our goal. Now, the thing is, you know, we'll do something like this for a business. We'll do this for a job. Maybe you have the right goals and stuff at your work. We'll come up with vision and values for things like that. But when it comes to our own personal lives, we can live our whole lives without really having a vision for our life. We can live our whole lives without really having a clear vision or even having clear values that we say, this is our gold standard. This is what we want with our lives. Habakkuk 2:2 puts it this way. The Lord answered me and said, write a vision and make it plain upon a tablet so that a runner can read it. I love that. Make it as plain as possible so you can read it, so you can see it. Write a vision and make a plan. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard, said it like this. He said, stick with the main and the plain. Stick with the main and the plain. Stick to the main stuff and make it plain so that you can easily understand it. So what's the main thing you want in your life? What's the main thing you want? I'm going to ask this to you. What's the main thing you want in your life? Is it to be in a loving and fulfilling marriage? Well, that means you organize your life so that can be a value for you. And make it plain. Here you go. Make it plain by having date nights. Don't say your marriage is important, but you never have a date night. Okay? Don't say, oh, I want to have a great marriage one day, but you never read one book on marriage. You know, you gotta read, I encourage you to read at least one book on marriage a year. and talk to your spouse about it. You know, setting up intentional times to talk and enjoy with each other. Maybe you're here and you say, I want to be present for my kids. I want to be a great parent. That means you organize your life so that can be a value. So that might mean you don't work a career that requires you to give 40, 50, even sometimes 60 hours a week, or makes you travel out of town a lot, you know, things like that, that makes you miss sporting events or different things that your kids are involved in. So you may have to make that sacrifice to do that, because being a parent is a top value for you. So you say you have family days, you make these things priority. Because here you go. If it is a value, it will become a top priority in your life. If it's valuable, it will become a top priority. And here's the truth. I'm gonna give you a real truth today. You already have values in your life. You already live your life with a value system. So don't say, oh, I don't really know how to do that. You're already doing it. You might have the value of 3+ hours of screen time a day. You don't call it that, but that's what it is because you do it. You have the value of being on social media and watching other people expand their dreams, expand their journeys in life, while you just sit watching their journeys and not even dreaming about the journey that God has given you for your life. You know, you might value binge watching TV. You might value overworking or even underworking. You might value being negative. See, don't be confused. We all have values, and values are demonstrated. Here you go. Values are demonstrated by what we do the most, because what we do the most deems what we see as most important. Come on, man, I'm laying it out here today. I'm laying it thick out here today, okay? So don't say you don't have values for your life. You have values. The thing is, if you're not intentional with your life, if you're not intentional with the life God has given you, you're adrift. You're adrift and watch shows and watch the news all day and be on Facebook all day, looking at everyone else living the dream while you're sitting on your couch. And I'm going to tell you this, God has a dream for you. God has a purpose for your life. God has put something uniquely inside of you that no one else has. And what a shame it would be if you sat down and wasted the gift that God has given you. I encourage you to find a vision for your life. Find a vision for where God has placed you. Throw some values around that vision and go after it. So if you want to live life with a purpose, on purpose, I got some homework for you. Come on, man. I got some homework for you today. Take time to write out the life you really want. Dude, if it's your life, it's worth you taking some time to think about it. Take some time to write out the life you really want. And here you go. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how seasoned you are in life. If you got breath in your lungs, God is not done with you. God is not done with you. And I just want you to write it out. I want you to write it out, because what you'll likely discover is you are doing things with your life that aren't supporting the vision and values that you have. So I'm going to share with you real fast. I'll be transparent today. I like to be transparent. If I can't be real in church, where can I be real? I'm going to share with you my big values. Okay, so here are my big values. I'm going to share them with you as an example. So this is what I wrote down with my time with the Lord. And it is not like some long essay. It's like four short sentences. Okay, here you go. My family is more important than my job. Priority goes to my family first. I want to be fun, enjoyable, not happy one moment, then sad to next. I desire consistency. That's a big value for me, to be consistent. Crush it during my scheduled work times and then leave it. Things will get done. That's a value that I have. My set time and work, I'm going to crush it. But beyond that, I'm not going to do it. So I don't even try to respond to emails or text messages if it's outside of my work time, because if I'm not working, I'm with my kids, and my kids don't deserve to have a half attention dad. I mean, I brought them into the world. It was my decision to bring them into the world with my wife. So why would I cheapen that relationship and give them half of me, you know, while I'm texting someone back? They can wait. and call me later, okay? So instead of anger, pray to my Father God. These are my big values. These are my big values, you know, that I have in my life. And this is an ongoing thing that I write. Things that as I discover different things about me. This is something I see as valuable, and this is what I see coming against that value. I write it out. So I wrote this out, and it helps me to live life easier. And I encourage you to do the same, okay? Here you go. M makes room for spiritual practices. Makes room for spiritual practices. Now, it's easy to look at purpose and get caught up in the culture's view of purpose. What I mean by that? It's easy to get caught up in the culture's view of purpose. Our culture teaches us the more we do, the better we are. The more we do, the better we are. The more you produce, the more valuable you are. That's why people don't take vacation times. That's like a big thing. America has the most unused vacation times out of any place. And people don't take vacation times. And even when they're on vacation, answering work calls, sending emails and text messages back, you know, you're on vacation, but you're still at work in your head. Because according to the world, work equals value. Work equals value. That's why so many people are so overworked, but they're stressed and they're depressed. You can be an overachiever, but an underachiever in your spirit. You know, people on their devices, and you know, they just can't be in the moment. See, purpose is not just about doing something. Purpose is about becoming someone. Purpose isn't just about doing something. Purpose is about becoming someone. If your purpose was just about doing something, then celebrities, athletes, business leaders, politicians, they would be the happiest people in the world, right? Like, we would look at these people and say, man, they're so happy. Man, man, those celebrities, so happy. What do we see? What do we really see that when we see these different people that are just doing a bunch of things? They look depressed. Anxiety, mental health issues, all these different things that come in. See, don't be tricked. Purpose is less about doing something and more about becoming someone. Jesus says it like this. This is look to Jesus. What did Jesus say about it? Jesus says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? What good is it? What good is it to gain everything? To do more and more and more, to climb the corporate ladder, to get all the bonuses and promotions and all the money, all this stuff, yada, 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 but you forfeit your soul. I love how he uses the word forfeit too, because losing and forfeit are two different things. Sometimes you do lose in life. I mean, that's just a part of life. Sometimes you don't get the job you want, or you don't get the grade you want, or your team plays against Tom Brady. You know, sometimes you just lose. You lose in life, and it's okay. But to forfeit is when you look at a situation and you make a mindful decision to quit. You look at the situation, you look at the circumstance, you say, yeah, I'm gonna quit. And you don't even try. You don't even go after it. In other words, you can gain stuff on the outside, but quit on your soul on the inside. See, so how do you become a person that God wants you to be? Well, it's by intentionally spending time with God. That's how you do it. How do you become the person? I'm not going to tell you something that's like some crazy like secret to life. It's simple. Spend time with God, because whoever you spend time with is who you become like. So if you spend time with God, you'll start to become more godly. If you spend more time with Christ, you'll start to become more Christ-like. So you got to develop spiritual practices. Did you know, as a Jesus follower, you have a huge advantage to your life? You have a huge advantage to your life because you have access to God. See, the thing that separates a Jesus follower from anyone else is not rules. It's not just trying to do good and be good. It's that as a Jesus follower, you can develop spiritual practices for your life. So what I want you to do, what I want to do is I want to encourage you to start some spiritual practices that you do at least once a week. Just do it once a week in your life. Now, here's the thing. I love to work out with Apple Fitness. It's really, really fun. I encourage you to do that if you're looking for something that's affordable and get healthy. I don't get paid to endorse Apple Fitness, so you can do any kind of fitness thing you want to do, all right? But anyways, I just like that one. But one of the things I like about Apple Fitness is they don't expect you to just jump into a 30-minute HIIT workout if you've never worked out before. No, they actually have different levels of difficulties. So if you're new to working out, they have a beginner workout. So just getting them moving a little bit. Then they have modified workouts. And the reason for that is because when you get into fitness, you have to start right where you are. You have to start right where you are. Don't think you're gonna be running marathons the first day you lace up your running shoes. You know, you gotta start where you are. Here you go. I want to be your spiritual fitness coach right now. Coach Jacob in play right now. I want to be your spiritual fitness coach. Wherever you are in your spiritual fitness level, I want to slowly ease you into the practice of spirit of having spiritual practices in your life. Here you go. So here's a few suggestions. Here's a few suggestions with some quick definitions. Silence and solitude. Hey, all I'm literally talking about here is spending 5 to 10 minutes with God one day a week. I'm talking about taking away your phone, turning off the TV, getting yourself a cup of coffee if you need it, you know, and just spending 5 minutes with God. 5 to 10 minutes and you can pray a simple prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and just begin to think and meditate on your life and spend time with God. We see Jesus doing silence and solitude. Jesus often withdrew so he can be with God. So if Jesus did it, I think we should be doing it, okay? The second thing is this, is a Sabbath. Now, this has become a fan favorite in the Gaines household. You know, we call it Family Fun Day so our two-year-old can understand it better. But what we do for a 24-hour period, what we do is we put our phones away, we have intentional time with God and intentional time with our family. We play games, we eat good food. You know, Aaron and I, we actually do our date night on our Family Fun Days after the kids go to bed. And we put this day aside just for God, just for God. And the third thing is slowing down, slowing down. See, one of the most interesting things that happened for me during the COVID season is I began to slow down. You know, Aaron and I, we just ran at such a fast pace for so long that we got burnt out. And this season allowed us to slow down. And you wanna know what happened when we slowed down? We begin to enjoy the moments. Instead of always looking for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, like I'm enjoying the fact that my kid is 2 years old right now. And she's never going to be 2 years old again. Like, I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm going to soak it up now. You know, you got to slow down and enjoy the moments, not being in a rush. Now, these are just a few spiritual practices that I believe will help you connect to your purpose. And you may say, man, I don't have time for those things. Well, you're already making time for the opposite of those things. So it's really just switching it. Here you go, fitness coach, spiritual fitness coach here. I'm saying just once a week. Just try to apply one of these things once a week to your life. Just once a week, put the phone down and have some silence and solitude with just you and the Lord. Just maybe not a full 24 hours, but maybe you do a family night. You do a family game night, or you do a date night with your spouse, where it's just you guys, no phones, no interruptions, just you guys. You know, maybe you just start to slow down in your life. Don't overbook yourself. Just start to slow down and watch what God would do. You gotta make room, make space for spiritual practices, okay? And here's my last point today is this. And the E stands for enjoy life. Can you do something for me? Just do something for me. Can you enjoy your life, please? Like, just start enjoying life. You only got one. You only got one of them. You don't get a redo. You got this one life. Let's start enjoying it. Let's not spend our days caught up in bad relationships or trying to keep up with the Joneses that we're in massive debt or always trying to be someone that we're not. Instead, let's view life as a gift from God and enjoy it. So I got three tips. Here you go. Three tips on how you can enjoy life. Tip number one, choose joy. Choose joy. Believe it or not, joy is a choice. Joy is something that you can do. Even in challenging seasons, you can choose joy. Proverbs 17:22 says this, a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. I love that. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. A joyful and cheerful heart brings healing. It brings healing to your life. I encourage you today, no matter what's going on in your life, choose joy. Find joy in it. I'm not saying deny the reality of your pain. I'm saying in your pain, choose to believe and know that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Choose joy today. The second tip to enjoy life is this: speak joy. Be good at speaking joy in your life. Be an expert. Be all pro at speaking joy in your life. This includes what you watch and read. Don't expect to go to bed happy tonight if you're just watching the news all day, or if you're just scrolling through social media all day. You know, you gotta choose, you gotta speak joy into your life. 1 Peter 3:10 says this: "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech." Now, if you want some good days with purpose, speak it. Begin to speak it into your life. Don't let negativity be the loudest voice in your room. Don't let negativity be the loudest voice in your room. You are a child of the Most High God. Jesus, He lived the life you couldn't, died a death you deserve, rose from the grave so that you can have life and life to the fullest. Begin to speak life into your situations. Even as we celebrate Palm Sunday today, Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and the people placed palm branches on the ground, and they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." It was the first day of the Holy Week that led to Good Friday, that led to the resurrection. I'm going to tell you this right now. You got to speak life, speak joy into your life. And my third tip is this: rest in joy like a good home-cooked meal. Come on, somebody. Who in here loves a good home-cooked meal with some wine, with your family, with some laughter, with some good conversations? You gotta rest in joy. You gotta rest in your joy. It's not about what you do, but it's about who you're becoming. Ecclesiastes 2 says this: So I decided, who in here is gonna decide today? Who in here is going to decide that they want some joy in their life today? Who in here is going to decide that they're not gonna let negativity get the best of them? Who is going to decide today that they're a victor and not a victim? Who in here is going to decide today that all things are possible through Christ Jesus? So I decided there's nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God. For who can eat or enjoy anything apart from Him? God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please Him. Purpose brings joy. Purpose feels like home. Purpose is where you are loved, valued, welcome, and you take the responsibility for your life. And this is how we can have a faith that feels like home, connecting you and me to the purpose that God has for us. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this purpose. We thank you for your life. We thank you that you came to bring life and life to the fullest, that you have given us a purpose. Even right now, I can feel the Spirit of God. I can feel the Holy Spirit speaking to people who, even as I've been talking this whole time, there's been this resistance. There's been this, I have a purpose. I don't know if I have this. I feel like the Holy Spirit is about to whisper to you right now that God knows every hair on your head. He knows every hair on your head, meaning that He is intimately involved in your life. He knows you deeply. He cares for you. His love for you is so deep and so wide that He sent Jesus to live a life we couldn't, die a death we deserve, rose from the grave, and now sits at the right hand of God. So Jesus, we give you what's in our hands. We honor you with our lives. We make space for spiritual practices. We organize our lives so they can reflect vision and values that you have for us. And God, we say we choose to enjoy our life. We will not live as a victim, but we will live as a victor in Christ Jesus. God, we thank you for how good you truly are. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 and amen.